Good morning. It is Sunday, May the 26th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, the caps have been thrown in the air. It is all done for the class of 2019 at the Highland School.
Absolutely, and I want to send out my congratulations to the students who completed their high school requirements and received their diploma this past Saturday night. It was a great event. I know there were a lot of proud parents there to support their young person who is completing 4 years of high school. And the most important thing, they will be moving on to advanced education.
And you were at the award ceremony this past Tuesday. I was there as a spectator. You were there as a presenter.
That's right. Every year I have the honor, and I do mean honor, of presenting the Highlandstown Scholarship Awards to the graduating seniors. We passed out 22 awards on Tuesday. Rebecca Schuler, our finance director and also a member of our scholarship committee that kind of coordinates the whole process, was there to assist me. But it is always wonderful to be able to help these young people move on to the next level of education by providing this scholarship. The other thing I point out to the graduates, and I want to really emphasize, it's not a one-shot experience. This is just the beginning. As they go through their college or technical training, they can apply every year on April the 15th for continued support. So theoretically, if a young person goes through 4 years of college, they can expect town scholarship support for that entire period.
Now, what one piece of advice regarding these scholarships would you have for the class of 2020 and beyond?
My primary piece of advice is, as you are finishing your senior year, be sure to apply for a scholarship. Because the way the statute is written, any graduate from the Highland School is eligible for that scholarship as long as they're moving on to advanced training, whether it be at a vocational technical school or at a college or university. So we have that commitment, and it's in writing. And what I mean by writing, the town administers and manages the scholarship program, and we have an endowment of $880,000, which is growing. We have income coming in because we have things like the Three Rivers Fly Fishing Tournament, or we have the annual Highland Scholarship Golf Tournament, and that supplements our endowment efforts. So we are committed by law to grant these scholarships. And when I say by law, we had to have special legislation passed by the North Carolina legislature for our folks in the town to actually administer the scholarships. So it's very clear cut, the rules and in our commitment. So I encourage those young people who are attending the Highland School to be sure to apply.
So remember, kids, if you'd like to hear the mayor say your name and hand you a check, apply for that scholarship. From what I understand, the application is pretty straightforward. It's basically your name, where you're going, that kind of stuff. That's not that rigorous. So make sure you do that.
And the other thing that I believe is part of the process is that it's really real simple. At the beginning of each year, we basically cut checks that go to the schools to support the tuition of the recipients.
Easy peasy. Well, Mr. Mayor, I know another ceremony you are very proud to participate in every year is the annual ceremony here in Highlands honoring our fallen service members. Tomorrow, of course, is Memorial Day. You are a veteran, and we thank you for your service. What can we expect at this year's service?
We will have the service at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Veterans Memorial Park, which is right in front of the police station. I always appreciate our American Legion Post 370 for their leadership in putting on this commemoration. And I think it's very important that if possible, I would hope that a lot of people come out and just take, you know, 30 minutes out of your holiday schedule to pay tribute to the people that lost their lives in service to this country. I'll be saying some brief remarks, and I'll kind of summarize what my feelings are. We, of course, pay tribute to the fallen, but also I think we need to pay tribute to the families who have lost people in service, because their suffering continues throughout the rest of their lives. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that. I remember I was at a Vietnam commemoration years ago and saw the Gold Star mothers who were in a parade, and I was really moved by the fact that, you know, that we have to pay tribute to those people that have lost loved ones in these conflicts. So that's important. And I will tell you another thing, and I know the American Legion is very concerned about this. We tend to think that, you know, people are lost in the battle and then it's all over. But we're discovering, especially from the Gulf War, the Iraqi conflict, and the Afghanistan conflict, that many of our veterans, while they survived the battle in those conflicts, mm-hmm. they come back to this country with real serious problems of dealing with what they've experienced. And of course, we're losing an unbelievable number of veterans every day to suicide. I think it's like something like 22 veterans a day commit suicide. And that's directly connected to those experiences they encountered when they were in service. And to me, that's a part of the loss that mm-hmm. we need to be focused on and paying tribute to also. So to me, it's a somber day of remembrance. It's not like some of our other holidays where we're celebrating on the 4th of July or even Veterans Day. This is a time for us to take pause, reflect, and be thankful and grateful for the sacrifices that these brave individuals have made.
And there are symbols of remembrance here in Highlands that are there 365 days of the year. That, of course, are the bricks commemorating veterans. And I understand that 48 will be added this Memorial Day, but there's a new silent salesman at Veterans Park that will allow anyone who has a veteran with a connection to Highlands to memorialize them.
You're correct. We've had a brick program to recognize veterans for now several years. And this year, the American Legion has installed this small box where mm-hmm. you can take a form, fill it out, and get it back to the American Legion, and they will then process the order for a brick. The next time that they will be installing bricks will be on Veterans Day. So that's an ongoing program, and we have plenty of spaces for many veterans who served and veterans who were from or lived on the Highlands Plateau. One other thing I want to give a shout out to of appreciation is Phil Potts and his organization of placing flags on the graves of veterans mm-hmm. at our local cemetery, but throughout this region. He has a program where we have flags placed on the graves of veterans on Memorial Day, on Veterans Day, and then even at Christmas, he heads up the Reeves Across America program, which is a very important program for us to always remember the veterans and what they contributed to this country.
Well, just a bit of housekeeping, Mr. Mayor. Tomorrow is the Memorial Day holiday, and that means many things will be closed, including Town Hall.
Town Hall will be closed on this federal holiday, but our trash pickup will continue as normal. We pick up trash on almost all holidays except Christmas and New Year's.
And if someone isn't able to get to the town trash pickup, what's the best thing they should do? Should they just put it out and wait till Thursday?
Thank you for bringing this up, Chris. You know, we have dumpsters over on Oak Street and everything. I've had signs put up there saying they're private dumpsters, mm-hmm. but we continually have people putting trash on those dumpsters or in the dumpsters. Mm-hmm. They're not for the public. For example, this past week, somebody dumped several big bags of trash on top of one of the dumpsters. The owner of the dumpster communicated to me after going through the trash, the person that did it. They know who did it. The person's from Fayetteville, Georgia, and I won't say any more.
A little detective work
but,
there.
Yes, detective work. But those dumpsters are for private use, mm-hmm. for businesses, not public use. I can't stress that enough. Mm-hmm. We have an alternative, and that is you can go to the recycling center at the recreation department, mm-hmm. and after doing your recycling, there are two dumpsters there, and you can place your household garbage there. Just be sure to lock it back using the clip chain that keeps the bears out of it. Mm-hmm. Those have become so popular that we're now having to pick those dumpsters up every day, mm-hmm. but that's fine. Also, you can go out to the Buck Creek Recycling Center, do your recycling there, and they even have a trash compactor where you can drop off your household garbage. So there's no excuse for people just throwing household bags of garbage downtown in those dumpsters. and you can tell probably in my voice I'm getting kind of passionate about this. We need to practice good stewardship in how we dispose of our garbage and trash on this beautiful plateau.
Well, sticking on the issue of trash, I have seen around town, I'm sure our listeners have as well, the bear-proof street cans. I've actually used one or two in disposing of a ice cream cone wrapper from Kilwin's. I understand there are still some to be installed that have a few little infrastructure issues.
As of this week, though, Chris, we're really making progress. Mm-hmm. We're on the downside of that. I believe by Memorial Day, we'll have all of the bear-resistant street cans installed in the business area. There'll still be some areas, for example, at Founders Park, where we have to continue work on that. Some of the harder installs are ahead of us. For example, at the park, we're going to have to dig a footer. I think it's about 30 by 30.
Oh, wow.
Pour concrete in and then anchor the cans to that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the kind of the final phase of deploying the bear-resistant street cans, and I hope people will use them. And they are intended, like you say, for things like coffee cup, ice cream cones that weren't eaten, all of those things that the bears love to partake. We want our visitors and residents to put those kind of things in these bear-proof containers versus a bear-resistant toter that we also talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The bear-proof means we think that the bears cannot turn these over or get into these containers with the heavy metal cladding and everything. We believe they're bear-proof, whereas if you buy a bear-resistant toter, it makes it hard, and there's a high probability that they won't get into those containers, but it's not guaranteed.
Well, from the issue of waste management, which you are clearly quite passionate about, to an issue that could have ignited quite a bit of passion and provoked some fiery discussion. You can see where I'm kind of going with this.
That's right.
You had a forum this past week about the changes to the fire tax. You had the fire chief there, the assistant chief, the county fire marshal was there, folks from the town all ready to explain what the plans were for the fire department and how this tax would be spent. What kind of turnout did you have for the forum?
Okay, well, this was a part of the process of actually increasing taxes, the mm-hmm. fire tax. And especially the county wanted us to have this forum because our fire district isn't just in the town limits of Highlands.
Right.
It's also going beyond into the county. So we put on the forum last Tuesday night from 6 to 7 at the rec park. And it wasn't a formal meeting where you had to be there at 6. It was kind of a walk-in mm-hmm. informational format. We had a lot of handouts, and we had a kind of a design of what a new fire department would look like. And we were all there ready to share the information and answer questions, but no one showed up.
No one. Not
no
a single
one.
Person.
We had one person from the press there that asked a question or two, but other than that, people did not come in and ask questions. It's part of the process. That's fine if no one wanted to come, and we'll continue to make plans and share those plans with the public.
Mr. Mayor, I know there is quite a bit of engineering work going on in the town, and that is providing a foundation for our new water tank, and it's quite an endeavor. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what they're having to do?
Okay. Well, the foundation, and that is the floor, took over 100 yards of concrete.
Hmm.
That was done, and then workers came in and put up this steel structure. And from my background in art and sculpture, when I saw that going up, I said, wow, this looks like a piece of modern sculpture, because they were having to put, I guess, kind of a framework for the large tank. That was done. And then they put up some metal paneling and started to actually spray or gun in the concrete by layers. They've then now come back and put some cabling within that whole structure that will kind of hold the entire structure together. So they're making progress now on finishing the walls and doing the top. So I anticipate in the next few weeks that structure to be complete. Then it will take several weeks for the hookups. We have to have a pump house. We have to have all of these controls and so forth. So the work will go into the summer, but by sometimes this fall, it should be complete. all the heavy equipment that has been used will be cleared out. We'll put the tank online. Once it goes online, we will have the old concrete water tank removed, demolished and removed. We'll have that new tank, you know, in service. One thing I was noticing about the old tank, there's kind of a constant flow of water coming out from the bottom now. At first, I thought that might be just some kind of a voluntary spring, but actually it's just indicative of the failure of that water tank, which needs to be removed as soon as possible. But once all of that is done, we will then go back and repave Satula all the way up to where the public road ends, all the way down to, you know, the business district.
Mr. Mayor, we're almost at the end of the month, and coming up next month, I know there's going to be a presentation on an issue you're very interested in. There's already been some in our area down in Brevard, and it's on this issue of blue zones.
That's correct, and we do have a big event taking place on June the 10th at 5 o'clock at the PAC Center, and that's going to be a regional event. People from Franklin, from Philva, from Jackson County, from Macon County, Cashers, everybody will be coming to this event to hear Tony Bootner, who is an expert from the Blue Zones company, to come talk about the potential for establishing a regional blue zone in this plateau area and into these two counties. So I want to encourage people, if you're interested in being involved in this or learning more about this Blue Zone initiative, to please come to the meeting. And I'm about to do something that I have permission to do. My wife has been kind of spearheading and coordinating this meeting and trying to get all the groups to come together to learn about Blue Zones. And Sally has told me I can give out her cell phone number. And if anyone wants to come to the presentation or learn more about the Blue Zones, please feel free to call her at 828-506-7025. And she'll be happy to give you information about the Blue Zones and the meeting that will be on June the 10th. So I hope to see a lot of people at this important event.
And just to give a little tease and to distill the idea for our listeners, basically it's on general life improvement, I would say, is what the concept is behind these Blue Zones, multifaceted life improvement.
That's right. And longevity, living an active and healthy life. And it ties into some of the issues we've had about hospital access, healthcare access that we've been involved in the past month.
Well, on that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday and a happy Memorial Day.